let them know I sounded real good singing with them back there. I just didn't have a microphone. Yeah, I just want to throw that out there. So if I would have only wore my orange tie tonight, appreciate that. That was a good special. Thank you, guys. Appreciate that. And let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And we are doing a series on work on your casting and talk about the word casting through the Bible. And tonight's a very familiar one. And hopefully we'll just look at it tonight, be reminded of some things. And look forward to Sunday morning preaching on thankful for all he's done. And we're going to preach about the life of Christ. I think that's one of the greatest sermons that you can ever preach is about the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, woe be unto me if I preach not Christ. And so this Sunday, pray for that, if you would. Pray for lost souls to come Sunday. That ought to be our prayer every Sunday morning, is that God would send in folks here who are not believers. Amen. And that God, through his word, and not through the preacher, but through his word and through his Holy Spirit, would convict their heart. And I'll tell you, I'm tired of not seeing people saved down here at the altar. And I want to see people saved. And I just, every time somebody comes down, I'm going, come on. And then I'm like, ah, next time. We'll get them next time. And so just keep praying if you would. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 1. It says, the elders which are among you, I exhort. So in other words, he's talking to the preachers. And this chapter basically is talking to the leaders. And so he says, who I am also an elder, a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint. Right? You shouldn't lead the church by a gun. Hello? We can if you want me to. I mean, we can do that, but that's probably not a good idea. There's some retaliation, especially in Texas. That wouldn't be a good idea. But willingly, not a filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. He says, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. By the way, if you don't have this underlined, this is the key to this chapter, this one phrase, and I'm not preaching on it, but it is part of what we're going to be doing. But he says, and be clothed with humility. And be clothed with humility. One has said it before that the greatest garment you can put on in the morning is the clothing of humility. Because when you put on the garment of humility, you're putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the characteristic of being humble, and his humble life that he shone through going even to the cross. And here's the reason why we ought to be dressed in humility. Because why? God resists the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Say amen if you need grace. Amen. He said that he only gives it to the humble. If you're a proud person, by the way, you can be saved and still be proud. And in a way that you are above God, and we ought to humble ourselves underneath him. But here's what he says in verse 6. He said, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due times. And verse 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Let's pray, and then we'll talk about work on your casting all your care. Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you for this night. Lord, I humbly come before you tonight, and Lord, as we look into your word, Father, I pray that through your Holy Spirit that you would impart truth into our hearts and our minds. God, help us to be doers of your word. And Lord, we pray for each and every one here tonight. Lord, a blessing upon them. Lord, first of all, for being here. But God, also that you would bless us, Lord, in such a way that we would know that you're here tonight, and that you're talking to our hearts, and that you're ministering to us. Give us direction. Lord, I pray that you just hide me now. And Lord, I pray that your word would go forth tonight. God, I certainly ask that you would just meet with us now. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Of course, Peter is addressing the leaders here in this chapter. And I told you one of the key verses in this chapter is verse 5. To be clothed with humility is really the greatest thing. And he was speaking about those who feed the flock of God, those who are in leadership positions. And tonight, he said, when he gets to verse 7, he says, casting all your care upon him. And who is that him? Of course, that's God. That's casting it upon God. And then he says this. He says, for he careth for you. Now, we're dealing with the word casting. And the word casting here in the Greek word for casting in this, in 1 Peter chapter 5, simply means this. It means, of course, casting all means the same, but this one has a little different connotation. It means to throw away from oneself. Now, me and Caleb have thrown a shad net before 100 billion times. You don't throw the cast net up like this and it comes down over you, right? You cast it away from you. You're trying to get it away from you. And here's what the Lord is telling us tonight, is casting all your care upon Him. In other words, to get rid of it out of your hand and transfer it into His care. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. But I want you to notice one word, if you will. It says casting all your care. That word's singular in the English. But actually in the Greek, the word, there's two different words used here. There's care and then there's careth. They're the same word, but care in the Greek is singular, is plural. So when it says cast all your care, that's a plural word. In other words, there's many things that mean care, and we'll talk about that. But then it says he careth for you. That word careth is singular. It means he cares for you. That there's only one type of care that God gives you, and that's his care. And so we'll talk about that. But that word care, if you look it up and you look at this word, and by the way, I never really done this, it means anxiety. I don't think I have to give you a definition to the word anxiety, but I will. Here's what Webster said. Unrest, it disturbs the mind. State of painful unrest or unease is what anxiety is. And so here's what the Lord's asking us to do. He says, casting all your anxiety upon me. All the things that you have you ever heard this statement, by the way? Oh, I tell you what, I'm just worried to death. You ever heard that statement? Now, obviously, we don't really mean that. I've never seen any, well, no, I'm sure there has been somebody die from worry. That's called usually a stroke or a heart attack. But when we say that, we just mean, you know, I'm just worried to death about that. And I have to ask ourselves, why are we worried about that? You know what I spend more time doing? Worrying about things I can't do nothing about. You know, I mean, it's just like us worrying about the weather. You know, there's nothing we can do about the weather. We can pray and ask God to do something, but everything revolves back to God and giving it back to Him. And so as we look at this verse, we see that either we're living a life of faith or we're living a life of fear. And Jesus told us that He has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. You ever thought about that scripture in 2 Timothy 1:7? It says, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of what? Sound mind. Did you hear what I said about anxiety? Anxiety is an unrest of the mind. Hello, it's going to get quiet. Hello. Welcome to therapy session one. I will be your therapist, you know. But look at verse 7. Casting all your care upon Him. For He careth for you. We're going to give you three things tonight. I knew you knew that already. But number one, the problem with care. The problem with care. The problem with care is, even though it is an anxiety, even it is those things that we create in our mind, somebody who has a problem with anxiety can have a lot more problems. They can have health problems because of that. It can cause dietary problems. It's a sign of fatness. Now, but some people that are, and by the way, anxiety goes on down. And part of anxiety, you can have depression. You can have a lot of different problems that come along with anxiety. But it starts in the mind of us thinking of things and worried about things we can do nothing about. If you can do something about it, somebody said, well, do something about it. Quit worrying about it and actually do something. If Brother Chris Sides needs $100, and I'm like, man, I'm worried to death about Brother Sides if he gets $100. But if I got $100 in my pocket, I ought to just go give it to him. That way me and him both ain't worried about it no more, right? And we know the song too. It says, why worry when you can what? When you can pray. And you give it over to the Lord. But here's the problem with care. Now, the word care and the word burden in the Bible are two different words. The word care is what I've just said. It is anxiety. The word burden in the Scripture, especially in the New Testament, means weight. But here's what you see in the Scripture. It starts off as a care. It starts off as a mindset of worried about something, and then it becomes what? A burden. And what happens is that the problem with care in our life, if we don't cast it onto the Lord, it becomes a burden in our life. Now, I've used this illustration before, but I'm going to use it again. This poor old backpack's been around for almost 20 years, and it's had these stones in there for a long time. I keep them in my office to remind me of the sermons I preach with it. But in here is a bunch of different stuff. I wrote on a bunch of rocks. Actually, it's not been that long. I did this in Burnett, so it's about 15 years. And in here I put stress, and I wrote it on a rock, and I put it in this bag. I wrote different things, and I put it in here. I ain't going to go through all of them because that's not the sermon I'm preaching. But the problem with care in our life is that if, Brother Feaser, will you help me with this? Will you grab your wife's two bags? Do you need help with those? You got them? Okay. Yeah, exactly. So let's say this is Brother Fiesler's cares that have become a burden to him. And I'm supposed to be a help to him, right? Right?
Amen.
Hope nothing explodes in there. When illustrations go bad, that could be a television special. And I say, well, Brother Fiesler, man, he is burdened down with the cares that he has and the anxieties that he has. And he's weighed down and he has a family that is counting on him. But you know what? I'm going to go help him. But wait a minute. By the way, I weighed this one time. It's almost 60-something pounds of rocks in here, of stones in here. And I say, all right, Brother Fiesler, let me help you. Uh-oh. I helped him. But guess what? I've taken it on myself. But the problem is that a lot of times I'm not going to take his burdens because I already have enough of mine. It's kind of like if we're both in a wheelchair, it's hard to help each other get down a flight of steps. And what happens is that... Thank you, Brother Fiesler. What happens is that cares can handicap us in the spiritual walk with the Lord. Listen, I don't care. I carried these down the steps while I going almost passed out. You know, these things are heavy. And I'm surprised this old backpack has they probably fall out the bottom because I'm talking about them. But carrying that around is, whew, man, see, it feels better already. But see, here's what's happening in our world today. And I talked to somebody on the phone today, and this is so true, is that I'm carrying around so much burden and care in my life. You're carrying around so much care and burden in your life. And for long, we're all discouraged. And we can't help each other. Why? Because we're trying to carry the load. Why? Jesus says, well, wait a minute. Hello. Right? You know, bring it to me. The problem with these is that it causes us, not only does it burden us down, it becomes a burden in our life, but because of these cares, we're no longer able to help each other. And I think as Christians, the Bible does say, yeah, you're going to have to bear your own burden, but the Bible also says it bear you one another's burdens. In other words, if Brother Feaster's carrying around Miss Angela's purses, burdens, if I don't have a load, I can go help him with his and take them to the Lord for him. There's people in this building right now that are carrying such heavy loads, and they need somebody to help them get to the cross and get to where they can put them down. But yet we can't help them because why? I never will forget the first time. This is a funny story. You'll enjoy this one. I had just went through fire school, got certified. I put my suit on, and y'all are going to enjoy this. I get toned out. I was 130 pounds, soaking wet. I was so excited. I turned 18. I've been waiting all my life. I went through the training, all this stuff, and you know, I had to ride along and watch. And then finally they said, Wiggins, here's your sticker, so to speak, certificate. Says you can fight fire. Well, we get toned out about this time of the year, and there was a house, I remember it's on Barth Road down from our house, and the house is down in like a little valley, a little thing there, and it was about half burnt, but they're like, Wiggins, get your gear on, you're going in. I was like, woo-hoo-hoo, I get to go in the end of the hose, get to go in the end of the hose. So I put my SCBA on, got my mask on, and I'm going down the hill. And about that time, Chief says, you need to go back up and grab the ladder. It's like, yes, sir. headed back to grab the ladder. I'm going to go up. He said, you're going to go up on the roof, cut a 4x4, and you're going to go in and make sure everything's put out there. I was like, man, this is getting better. But the problem was, is that it was wet, and I had to go uphill, and I was this big around, and I had this big old bottle on the back of my back. When I went up the hill, all I remember going is, this is how a turtle feels. And I landed, and I'm not lying, I could not get up. It was so muddy and slick, and all my gear was so heavy. And I thought, man, they're going to fire me. I was volunteer, they couldn't fire me. But I was thinking, man, I'm done. They're going to say, hey, Wiggins, will you just stay with the truck, make sure it keeps running. You know, I thought, man, this is horrible. But I'm laying on the ground looking up, and I got all this gear on, and the gear probably weighed as much as I did, thinking, how can I go into a house fire and help somebody else whenever I'm burdened down with all this stuff, and I'm laying on my back? But as a Christian, we can be the same way. We can allow the cares of the world, we can allow the cares of life to come upon us, and what happens is that we become ineffective for the Lord Jesus Christ. The second thing we see here, and by the way, Jesus called us to live the abundant life, not a burden life. I like this next part. We see not only the problem of care, but we see the placement of care. He told us what to do. He said, casting all your care where? Upon Him. You know what's the amazing part about this verse too? He knew that we were going to have care. It's not that you're not going to have care. There's nobody in here that's going to live a life and never have a care. Hello. Is that not true? He would have said, hey, if you happen to come across some care in your life, cast it upon me. That's not what the scripture said. The scripture says, casting all your care upon Him. In other words, He knew we were going to have care in life. He knew that we were going to have the things of this world come. But He says, here, I got a solution. I got a place for you to put them. Where? Tell me where. On the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He can handle them. You know why God can handle our care? Because He knows what has already happened in the past, in the present, in the future. He knows all about it. Nothing ever burdens our Lord down. Nothing. No, there's no care you're going to give Him. He's going to go, I don't know what to do with that. He's not that God. He said, give it to me. As a kid, sometimes you're out there trying to do things and your dad's watching from inside, because that's what dads did. I was impressed with Brother Leopard this week. I'm going to tell a story. It was freezing cold, and he had some kids in detention. And he was watching from the comfort of his van. I had a little tear in my eye. And I was thinking, that's the way I felt as a kid. I felt I was outside, and my dad was watching me. And I remember a lot of times I was doing things just as hard as I could do them. And my dad would come out there and say, son, if you'll turn that axe around, it'll work a lot better. I mean, not that I was really doing that, but I'm just saying, in life, isn't it amazing how somebody, you ever had somebody show you how to really use something? You're like, oh, that's what it does. That's awesome. You know? And to think in life is that God is telling us, hey, I know you're going to have care, but give them to me. The only time we become dumb and selfish is when we have care. Nah, I'm good, God. I'm going to keep them. Right? I'm going to keep putting them in my bag. See, I told you I had stones in here. These are from the hill country. These are 6 billion years old. I'm just kidding. But stress, right? And what happens is that we like having our bag sometimes. Sometimes people like it. Because we want to be whiny heads, right? Especially men. Amen, ladies? Nobody loves me. You know, we go. I don't know how men return back to 3 years old, but they do sometimes. I'm just saying that from experience. Here's some of mine, self-pity. And you know what? We're like, you know what, Lord, I don't want to give this. I'm going to put this right here. And for long, we have a whole stack of cares, and we have a whole stack of things that we're carrying around. God says, give them to me. Not about you, but I'd love to give it that away and never have to carry that ever again. The placement. Jesus is willing to take our sins and do away with them, and so is He willing to take our cares and do away with them. What must we do? We must bring them to Him. By the way, there's people call me sometimes and say, Brother Wiggins, I need your help with this. And there's sometimes I'm surprised. It's very often, but and I'm like, well, okay. What are we going to do about that? Well, we're going to take it to the Lord. We're going to let Him have it. Because why? We can't handle it. There's a hymn in your hymn book, and if you want to turn there, it's in 540. It's called All Your Anxiety. Did you know that was in your hymn book? I think we sung that or something or one day. And here's what it says in hymn 540. It says, is there a heart overbound by sorrow? Is there a life weighted down by care? Come to the cross, each burden bearing, all your anxiety, leave it there. Second verse says, no other friend so keen to help you, no other friend so quick to hear, no other place to leave your burden, no other one to hear your prayer. Third verse says, come then, at once, delay no longer, heed His entreaty, kind and sweet. You need not fear a disappointment. You'll find peace and mercy, and find peace at the mercy seat. And here's the chorus, all your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy seat, leave it there. Never a burden He cannot bear, never a friend like Jesus. Why in the world would you want to carry those cares around when there's nothing you can do about them? I'll give you the last thing tonight. We see the third thing. We see the promise of care. You see, we see not only the problem of care, the placement of prayer, we give them to the Lord, but we see the promise of care. Notice the last part of verse 7. He says, for He careth for you. See, God cares about you. You know, it's one thing to take somebody something that don't care about you, but it's another thing to take something to someone who does care. And see that they do care and that they want to help you. And God says, look, I want to help you. I care for you. I love you. Bring me your burdens. Bring me your cares. Bring everything to me, and I'll take care of it. This is an assurance of His love. And also, this is a verse for anyone. Any of His children can bring your burdens and cares to Him, and He says, I care for you. You know, as a father, you like for your kids to bring stuff to you. I do. I don't want my kids to have to sit around and think about stuff and worry about stuff. And I like when they come to me and say, Dad, you know, I'm dealing with this, you know. The older your kids get, the more that happens, you know. Shelby comes to us and says, Dad, you know, this is going on. And, you know, and I want to be a great father. And I tell her, well, go talk to your mother. Oh, sorry, is that not what you're supposed to do? Sorry. I read that in a book somewhere. Why do I want to help my daughter out? Why do I want to help my son out? Because I care for them. Because I love them. Because that as their father, I care for them beyond measure. And I care for my wife beyond measure. And my wife came to me and said, look, you know, just some things are going on. And I wouldn't go to her and say, well, good luck to you. I hope you work it out. No, I want to help her. Why? Because I care for her. I want to do what I can to help her. And God's up in heaven going, hey, I died for you. I gave my life for you. And I rose again on the third day. And I didn't want to just say, hey, good luck to you. No, He said, I'm still here and I'm still working in your life. You see, that's a great God, isn't it? Christ didn't just rise the third day and go into heaven and go, good luck. See you in ever how many years when the rapture comes. No, God said, I'll be a personal God to you. I was looking at Ms. Jacoby, and this thought just happened. It's a good thought, Ms. Jacoby. Don't you love whenever you call an insurance company and you actually talk to a human being? I love, you know, and of course, Ms. Jacoby does our insurance. And usually when I call, I don't get a 1-800 number. I get usually her daughter, Brooke. You know what? It's nice to talk to somebody, isn't it? I hate whenever you press 1 for English, press 2 for Portugal, press, you know, 3 for, you know, this. And you're like, on 10, you're like, I don't forget what all those were, you know. But you like when somebody takes care of you that cares for you. I take my car to Brother Kevin sometimes, and Brother Kevin, I know I can trust him. I'm giving commercials for our people of business. I'll think of some more of you here in a little bit. But you know what? I'm serious. I can take my car down to Brother Kevin, and I say, Brother Kevin, I got a knock in my engine. And you know what? I can walk away, and I can leave it there with him and know that whatever it is, he'll take care of it. Why? Because he cares for me. Because I'm a brother in Christ with him. And you take it to somebody else, they can go in there with a sledgehammer and make problems. Right? Because why? They don't care for you. They want your money. They don't care for you as a person. But listen, Brother Kevin, I know, cares for me. Mr. Jacoby cares for me, but they didn't die for me. They didn't give their blood for me, but Jesus did. How much more does he care for me? How much more does he love me? And casting all my care on him, I don't want to cast it on him. Why? Because he cares for me. He loves me. And listen, the more I cast on him, the more I show that I'm depending on him. And I have faith in him. And that I don't want those cares. But why? Because a Christian was never built to carry cares in their life. There's none of us here that can carry cares and be fruitful in the work of God. We have to unload on him. Not like we unload on our wives and husbands. But we unload on him the care in our life. We live in a society that is full of cares. Even in the Bible, there's a phrase in Luke chapter something or another. I forgot what it was. It's in Luke, though. It talks about the care. Well, anyway, you can go back to Matthew where it talks about the different souls. Remember, it said that the seed sprung up. Some of them sprung up and one was choked out by what? The cares of the world. But Luke tells us that there is cares of the world, that there's deceitfulness and there's filthy lucre or something like that. I can't remember what it is, but it talks about just the things of this world that are cares that can come in our life. And folks, you walk out these doors, the cares are waiting on you. And if you don't have a place to take them to, could you imagine if you drove a truck? Let's just say my little F-150, 4.6, not too powerful. Amen. But if every day in my life I put a scoop of dirt in the back of that truck, it wouldn't take me long before my truck is no longer to be what it should be. And as a Christian, you may think just one scoop of care every day of your life is not bad. But eventually it's going to cause you to not be what God has called you to be. See, you can take a little thimble of it here and there, here and there. Here and there, but eventually it'll just keep building up. I don't know if you heard the story about the old farmer had a donkey, hated the donkey. That thing bayed all night, and he said it was just useless. So went out there and dug a hole in the backyard with the backhoe and was just going to bury the old donkey. So he dug his hole, and it was real deep, and he took and he shooed the old donkey down in the old hole. He could hear him baying down there, and he said, I want to hear him bay until that dirt covers him up. So he began to take and shovel dirt on top of that old donkey. About an hour later, he was looking at the donkey eyeball to eyeball. Because the donkey just kept shaking it off and standing on it. Shake it off, stand on it. And as a Christian, if we don't do that, we will get buried underneath the weight of our care. But the best thing the Lord told us to do, he said, cast it all on me. Let me ask you this. This is kind of silly, but if somebody came to you and said, look, whatever debt you have, please give it to me. Would you look him in the eye or her in the eye and say, I got it? I would say, here, immediately, right? You can have my house debt. You can have a car debt or whatever other debt, hospital debt that I have. You can have it all. And that they said, give it to me. And you'd be a fool to go, no, I'm good. But God says, give it all to me. And how many times will we tell him, we got it? There's so many people that come to preachers for counseling. And they go, I know this is small, but we just want to talk about it. Listen, what starts off here will grow and grow and grow and grow. It's just like, you know, schisms in the church. Maybe it's not that bad at first, but it can go through here like a wildfire. Well, you think about the tragedy in California right now, just one power line spark. And now you have several people killed and missing and thousands of acres and houses burned just because of one little spark. One little care in your life can begin to weigh you down, weigh you down, weigh you down. Speaking of weighing you down, I was going to put the speakers up for the football game. And I have a little chair out there I stand in to put the speakers in. Well, it's been raining a lot. And Brother Leper knows what I'm talking about. So I grabbed the speaker and went to put it up there. And I was, every time I did, I was like, am I shrinking right on the spot? I moved the chair over and I went to put the speaker up there. And it's just right at my tippy toes. And I was standing up like this and I just go. And finally I realized I'd kept that the legs of those chairs just kept going down and down and down. And if we're not careful in life, we can do that, can't we? We can try to carry a burden that we were never meant to carry. Carry a care that we were never meant to carry. And very slowly, just begin to sink into the mire of this life. And God says, give it to me. I don't know what your care is tonight. Yours is probably different than mine. And yours is probably bigger than mine or smaller than mine. I don't know. It don't matter. We have a God who says, give them to me. Your care may weigh like this. I don't know what your care is. Or, you know, your care may be just like this. Don't think that this is too small for God to handle. There's nothing too small or too big that He cannot handle tonight. Let's stand. I'll pray and we'll have an invitation. Father, we love You. Thank You for the night. Lord, I know that we all have care in our lives. And Lord, some great, some small. But Lord, we do realize if we allow those to fester in our life that they become a burden and they weigh us down. And they affect the way we serve You and the way we serve others. But God, You asked us to cast them upon You. Lord, help us tonight to let go of those things that we can do nothing about. Lord, help us just to trust You tonight and put them in Your hand. Put them on Your altar tonight. God, whatever the load may be that people are carrying tonight, Lord, may they just unload on You, cast it away from themselves. Lord, trusting You. And God, tonight, thank You for the promise that You've given us. The promise that You would take care of our cares if we bring them to You. God, I ask You to bless the invitation tonight. Lord, if there is a care, if there is a burden tonight, Lord, would You meet it? Would You take it? Lord, just relieve them of those burdens, of those cares tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.